Morning, everyone. It is good to see everyone here today, and our prayer is that the Lord will bless our time together as we read His Word and examine it together to help us and encourage us as we seek to live for Him as individuals and collectively as church. Over the last few weeks, Pascal has been asking questions, and last week, the theme of his message was simply here, just to survive or to live. I will ask again, are we here as individuals just to survive as Christians or to live as Christians? I would like to ask that question today from a church perspective and look at the New Testament church, the church at Philippi, and draw some practical lessons from it to challenge and encourage us as a church. The church here today is made up of individuals, as we see from Peter's epistle in 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Not inert objects, but described as living stones, here with a purpose. What does it mean for us this morning to live? For the younger generation, is it partying, a night out, sports? And for us, who are older, what does it mean? A good meal? An exotic holiday? Look what it meant for the writer of the letter to the church that we are looking at today. Chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Does that describe us as individuals and as a church? What a statement. For me to live is Christ. Are our lives centered on Christ? Easy to sing, but it is. Is it a reality in us today? Does this describe your life? My life? To live in Christ. Christ is a center as individuals and as church. Paul wrote this letter while in prison, probably chained to a guard, sitting on the floor. No comfort for Paul. But what does he say? For me to live is Christ. Let us get out of survival mode and press the live button, the life button, in our lives individually and collectively. To live is Christ. Let this be the new title over our lives. Philippi, for me, has many similarities to Bergerac. Geographically, it was on the main trading route from Europe to Asia. Where is Bergerac? On the main road connecting the northeast with the southeast, the N21 that runs from Limoges to the Spanish border. The church at Philippi was not a new church. It was created during Paul's missionary journey in Acts 16. We see from verse 1 of chapter 1 that it was an established church with structure, as Paul writes to the elders, deacons, and all the saints to thank them for a gift that they had sent to him. It was a diverse church, people from different walks of life coming together as living stones to build something for God in Philippi. We have the jailer and his family. We have Lydia, the business lady, and others mentioned by name in Paul's letter who had come to faith in Christ. It was a happy church, as we see in chapter 1, verse 25. They were living in joy. A church with vision, chapter 3, verse 13. Forgetting those former things which are behind and moving forward. It was an active church. Chapter 1, 27, working together for the advance of the gospel. There are many more important principles within the letter that we will perhaps look at some other time. But this morning, I want to focus on these things. Firstly, a church with structure, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul writes to the elders, deacons, and all the saints. This shows a pattern for a New Testament church, and like every organization, a church needs structure. The Lord has blessed each one of us with spiritual gifts and capabilities, and we must seek to use them for His glory. In France, we have the Conseil as laid out by the government. And as a church chooses its conseil, it should prayerfully consider the giftings evident and available within the church. and the Conseil should reflect the New Testament pattern. The Conseil is not a position of power, it's a position of service, to serve, to encourage the Church, not just so that the Church can survive, but provide guidance and encouragement so that the Church can live and be a bright and shining light for Him. A diverse church. The church at Philippi was a church where people who had come to know the Lord Jesus came together in the city of Philippi. As already mentioned, we have a jailer and his family. We have Lydia, the businesswoman. We have Epaphroditus, Euodia, Syntyche, Clement, all mentioned in the letter who form part of the church at Philippi. As I look around here in the church at Bergerac, as to how diverse we are, from various countries, various walks of life, what a diversity we are blessed with, how the Lord has brought us all together. Each one of us has a God-given talent that we can use, if willing, in His service. What a potential powerhouse we have here, properly used in His service. It's not by chance or by luck that we are together today. It is the Holy Spirit working in our lives to bring us together. The Lord never intended us to be alone as individual Christians. And wherever we go in the world, there are churches of born-again believers, like here in Bergerac, meeting together to worship God and to serve Him. A happy church. One of the great themes of this epistle is joy. As we saw in chapter 1, verse 25, it was a church that was filled with joy. Are we filled with joy this morning? Are we? Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I think a great illustration of this is the canaries in the coal mine. In 1906, 1,100 miners were killed in Courrières, in France, in one massive chain of explosions caused by a buildup of gas. But in the early days of coal mining, they found an effective, simple solution. They brought canaries into the mine. A canary's metabolism is very sensitive to air quality. As long as the bright yellow birds chirp and sing, miners know that the air is safe. If gas levels rise, the canaries stop singing, wobble on their perch, and eventually fall on the floor of their cage. Christian joy is like that singing yellow bird. One of the first effects of sin or doctrinal error is that we lose our joy in Christ. When your heart stops singing, that is a warning to watch your life and doctrine closely. It was a church with vision. Chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. What a vision Paul had to take the gospel to Europe. I love traveling and I'm fascinated by Paul's missionary journeys. No aeroplanes, no TGVs, no cars, and yet God gave him this vision for the Gentile nations to take the gospel to them. What is our vision as a church today? Dare I ask, do we have a common vision for the church in Bergerac? Too often we are in survival mode. People say in churches, it's worked for the last 20 years, no need to change. Or, we have always done it like this, and we are not changing. In Proverbs Proverbs 29, verse 18, we read, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Some of you might be thinking, well, it's not easy today. Times have changed. Or, like what we were saying from Haggai a few weeks ago, that this is not the right time to build a temple. Some of you may know Chris Short, an English missionary who commenced the work at Ponto Combo. I had the privilege to spend time with him in the late 70s in Paris. He had a vision then to grow the church, and the Lord has helped him tremendously. He has written a book, Décider de Grandir, which is worth reading. It shows the church doubling in size every year. Could I share my vision with you? My vision for the church in Bergerac is that 2 years from now, God willing, we have outgrown this building and we look at larger premises, and there is a real turning to God within this town. And lastly, the church at Philippi was an active together missional church. They were all working together to spread the gospel. First of all, they were active. If we are going to achieve, we have to be active. I've said before, Satan loves inactivity. He loves churches who are in survival mode, as they pose no threat to his kingdom. We have to be active, strategically, have a name, an objective, then a roadmap of how we are going to reach it, then get on the road and achieve. In my work, I travel all over France. I plan a route. There may be several churches, but in the end, I have to decide on one route, then go. I cannot spend hours sitting, thinking about how the problems I might encounter, the bad weather, the traffic jams. I've just got to deal with each challenge as I encounter it. For me, the same rule applies in church. We will have difficulties. Look at Paul. Shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. But that did not deter him from achieving his aim. In chapter 1, verse 27, they were together. Together. My, how difficult is that to achieve today? Togetherness, I think, is the biggest challenge that churches face today. In the church at Philippi, there was obviously some difficulties, as Paul alludes to it in chapter 4, verse 2, where he pleads with Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind. I said earlier that one of our strengths is that we were a diverse church, but that can bring its challenges. My way of doing things is right, yours is wrong. How often do we hear that? Sometimes over silly things. In chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, we have Paul's desire for the church, where he says, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, putting other before self, serving each other with humility." So, let us unite in love and humility to build the church of God here in Bergerac for His glory.